You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi there, Jennifer here with you today to share something a little bit different. I wanted to give you a real treat, and it is a preview of a new art-related true crime podcast. And if you've been listening to Art Curious for a while now, then this subject will sound familiar to you. But though this is a topic that we've covered before on Art Curious, this podcast allows you to really dig deep into the art scene surrounding the famous sculptor Carl Andre and his up-and-coming wife, Anna Mendieta. This podcast is called Death of an Artist. Andre and Mendieta were one of those textbook examples of opposites attract. He was known for minimalist sculptures, and then she broke boundaries with her genre-bending performance art. Now, this could have been a tale about a romance between two fascinating and talented people, but their story ended in a 911 call and a tragic death that split the art world into two. Host and curator Helen Molesworth revisits Anna's untimely death, taking a closer look at how she might have fallen out of the window of Carl's 34th floor New York apartment. She also covers the trial that followed and both the protest and silence that have accompanied the story since it occurred in 1985. In the preview you're about to hear, Helen introduces us to Anna's earliest work and the shocking topics that would come to inspire her powerful art: blood, violence, and justice. You can hear the full episode and more about Anna's story on Death of an Artist, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Enjoy.
It's May 1973, Iowa City. There's a damp chill in the air. We are on a sort of shabby block in front of a brick apartment building with a white door in need of a paint job and a storefront window with its blinds drawn shut. The sidewalk just in front of the door is covered in blood. And it looks like the blood might be seeping out from under the door jamb. It's a busy weekday, and as pedestrians pass the puddle of blood, they notice it and casually step around it. Eventually, a man in a green and black plaid jacket pauses and looks around, as if looking for an explanation. When none comes, he walks away. Then a well-dressed white woman uses her umbrella to poke at the bloody puddle. But after a moment or two of inspection, she also walks away. Finally, an older gentleman emerges from a nearby storefront and silently cleans up the mess. And the evidence of whatever happened is suddenly gone. And with it disappears any account of whose blood was spilled and how. The whole scene is being captured by two young women in their 20s, sisters, who sit in an old car parked nearby. One of them holds a Super 8 camera, the kind you'd make home movies with back then. The other snaps photos with a 35mm camera. They are Anna and Raquel Mendieta, Cuban refugees who landed in this unlikely place as children. In 1973, Anna was a first-year MFA student at the University of Iowa. She was funny, loud, outrageous, and had a take-no-prisoners vibe. And, in the way of sisters, she had roped Raquel into helping her make a new piece. And like many works Anna made, it would come to seem tragically prophetic in the wake of her death.
She basically staged what looked like the remnants of, you know, physical violence with what looked like blood in the doorway of a building. And I thought it was extremely powerful for a very young artist to be doing that and to be doing it in this small, largely white town of Iowa City was fascinating to me.
That's Connie Butler, one of the many curators who would come to admire and study Anna Mendieta's work in the decades that followed. The photos and film the Mendieta sisters took that day would ultimately become a work of art called Moffett building piece.
The fact that it still exists only in these little 35 millimeter slides, which, you know, you have to get very close to with a loop, and it's a very intimate way of viewing these things, you know, that implicates you as a viewer too, almost as if you are yourself looking at a crime scene.
Anna's interest in blood wasn't only meant to shock. She was keenly aware of violence and injustice. When she made the Moffett building piece, she was investigating her own community's reaction to a brutal crime, a rape and murder that had happened on campus a few months before. Here's how she explained her inspiration.
A young woman was killed, raped and killed at Iowa in one of the dorms, and it just really freaked me out. So I did several rape performances type things at that time using my own body. I did something I believe in and that I felt I had to do.
That's not actually Ana Mendieta's voice you're hearing. That was Tanya Bruguera, another artist from Cuba, who you'll hear from more later. Ana Mendieta's question was, could you make art about something so awful? And she used blood, not paint. Blood is the most essential substance of life. Could it jolt people out of their daily routines? Could blood make people pay attention? She didn't know it yet, but the Moffett building piece was about to be her first major artwork. And in a circular way, that's kind of terrifying. The question she asked about how we react when we encounter the residue of violence, this question would haunt all of us after she died. I'm your host, Helen Molesworth, and from Pushkin Industries, Something Else, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Death of an Artist, Episode 1, The Haunting. For my entire professional life, I've been a member of something called the art world, an exclusive network of artists, gallery dealers, curators, collectors, and philanthropists. For 2 decades, I was lucky enough to be a museum curator, making me one of a small group of cultural insiders who determine what art we see and how we talk about it. In the museum world and in art history, there are a lot of unspoken rules about what you can say publicly and what is supposed to stay private. It turns out I wasn't that good at sticking to the script. And I guess I'm still not good at it, because I'm going to tell you Ana Mendieta's whole story, all the way to its shocking and troubling end. And much to my surprise, I discovered it's a story many of my colleagues in the art world would prefer I didn't tell. At first blush, it seemed like people didn't want me to talk about it because of who else is part of that story. Anna's husband, the famous sculptor Carl Andre. He is one of the so-called fathers of minimalism, a cultural hero to many, a revered artist with lots of connections. And he was a suspect in Anna's death. Even though Carl Andre and Ana Mendieta were a highly visible art world couple, even though something terrible happened between them the night she died, you will not read about it on a museum wall label or in most art history textbooks. Reviews of their exhibitions tend to take care of it in a sentence or two. You would not know that Mendieta's death divided the art world in 1985, and in many ways, still does. I'm not the first person to try and tell this story. In fact, many of the voices you'll hear in this show are from interviews conducted by investigative journalist Robert Katz. He published a book in 1990 that remains the most comprehensive look into this art world tragedy. He spoke with dozens of Anna and Carl's friends in noisy restaurants, in parks, in busy offices. And you'll hear the voices of some art world insiders on these tapes who have since decided not to talk. Most folks don't want to discuss what happened that night. They don't want to talk about what the ramifications of that night were on the art world, They don't want to contemplate what it means when a community is torn apart by violence. And they don't want to discuss whether or not justice has been served. All these different folks not talking for all of their different reasons means that a veil of silence started to fall over this project. And I can't lie, the more silence we encountered, the more sad and frustrated I became. And the more silence we encountered, the more I wanted to talk.